Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to have a special feature. And today I'm going to read from a publication that is published by the Church of Christ in Leonie. That's located between McMinnville and Woodbury. It's on the old road. You probably see the sign, Leonie Church of Christ, out there as you're traveling the new highway. The old highway used to go by that building. My father used to preach at the Church of Christ in Leonie, and now Garland Robinson preaches there, and he has a publication called Seek the Old Paths. That's, in short, Seek the Old Paths. That would be STOP, S-T-O-P, using the first letter of each of those words, and sometimes it's just abbreviated STOP for Seek the Old Paths. You can subscribe to this publication by writing Leonie, L-E-O-N-I, Leonie, Church of Christ, Post Office Box 7506, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. Let me read that to you again. Leonie, Church of Christ, Post Office Box 7506, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. The editor of this paper, Garland Robinson, asked me to write some articles on marriage. I wrote 4 on what marriage is, and 2 on what marriage is not, and 2 on what marriage is. And this is the first of the articles I wrote on what marriage is. Let me read that to you today. God knows that godly children come from godly homes with godly fathers and godly mothers who share a godly love for one another. That's where this article is going. The article begins. Marriage is something God loves. Malachi 2:16 tells us, "The Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." Flip that over and we learn that God loves marriage. The better we understand why God loves marriage, the better we'll be able to understand why God hates divorce. Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. He prophesied at the end of the time often called the period of restoration. This is a good name for this period, for Israel had been restored to their homeland after the Babylonian captivity. They had restored the walls of Jerusalem, and they had restored the temple and its services. But too much of this restoration was of outward things. For many, what was missing was a restoration of the heart. They were worshiping, but the worship was weariness unto them. And the Lord said, "Neither will I accept an offering at your hand," Malachi 1 and verse 10. Neither was the way they were living acceptable. They were breaking covenants, Malachi 2 and verse 10. God had made a covenant with their fathers that they would be a separate people. They were profaning that covenant by putting away their wives, who were the sisters and daughters of their brethren, and taking to themselves hot young heathen women. We learn from Malachi that divorce is treachery, an abomination, and the cause of tears, weeping, and crying out. Divorce profaned the holy covenant and rendered their worship vain. It was a covenant breaking, a failure of the spirit to govern the passions, violence, shame, and evil. God hates it. Flipping this around, we learn from Malachi that marriage is holy. The prophet said, "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god," Malachi 2 and verse 11. Adam Clark suggests this means that they had profaned the marriage covenant that God loved. Their covenant with God was holy, but the marriage covenant is also holy. That is why we talk of holy matrimony. It is holy because it came from God, Genesis 2, 23 and 24. Marriage is what God hath joined together, Matthew 19 and verse 6. and marriage is for companionship. The prophet said, "Yet she is thy companion," Malachi 2:14. Malachi wrote of how putting away brought tears, weeping, and crying to the altar, Malachi 2:13. It is as though the fires of the sacrifices were being quenched by the tears of their wives against whom they had dealt treacherously. A godly companion can bring us closer to God. In Genesis 2:18, we read that God made woman to be a help that is suitable for man. Poets have waxed eloquently on the joy that Adam must have known in Eve. Solomon wrote in his song, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 16, chapter 4 and verse 10, chapter 5 and verse 16, chapter 6 and verse 3. And in his Proverbs, Solomon wrote, "Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times." Proverbs 5 and verse 18. The joy of that companionship is part of the purpose of marriage. And marriage is a covenant. The prophet said, "Yet she is the wife of thy covenant," Malachi 2 and verse 14. God hates divorce because divorce is the breaking of a sacred covenant, the failure to keep a vow, a broken promise. Sometimes it is said, "We do not love each other anymore. Those who say this do not know the meaning of love." There are two words in the New Testament for love. One is phileo, and the other is agape. Sometimes they're used interchangeably, but sometimes distinctly. Phileo is the love of joyful friendship. Agape is a love of unselfish commitment. The love God wants us to have is agape love for our marriage partner. What does someone mean when people say they do not love their partners anymore? Does that mean they have become so self-centered that they are willing to abandon their commitment? Phileo can be nurtured, but to walk away from a marriage commitment is to violate the law of God. Now, marriage is for a good, godly seed. The prophet said, "And did he not make one, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed?" Malachi 2:15. Children are a blessing in a marriage. "He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children." Psalm 113 in verse 9. Children are the heritage of the Lord. "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Psalm 127 verses 3 through 5. God knows that godly children come from godly homes with godly fathers and godly mothers who share a godly love for one another. And marriage is also spiritual. The prophet said, "Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and therefore take heed to your spirit," Malachi 2:15 and 16. The exact import of these words may not be certain, but it is certain that we are made in the spiritual image of God, Genesis 1:26, and we are to walk after the Spirit, Romans 8, 1-14. Marriage is for spiritual men and women. It is not for animals. Marriage is a spiritual choice. Other relationships that are close to us are blood relationships that we have without choice. We're given to our parents, our children are given to us, and with this comes brothers and sisters and grandparents and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. The affection we have in these blood relationships is a natural affection. The relationship that takes priority over all of these is the one we choose. That is why the marriage relationship is the relationship for which we are most responsible and for which we are the most accountable. We enter into that relationship by choice, and we maintain that relationship by choice. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Well, that was the article. You may want to subscribe to that publication. Let me give you the address again to write to. It'll be sent to you free. It's the Leoni, L-E-O-N-I, Church of Christ, Post Office Box 7506, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. Now, with that reading come to a close, we're going to return to our regular class period. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying about the childhood and education of Moses, using as a guide in our study the Sunday school lesson notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of July the 11th, 1926. And in the last class period, we had stopped as we were considering the faith of Moses' parents. Let me begin where we left off. We read, "The faith of Amram and Jochebed in God made them not afraid of the king's commandment. They bent in admiration and love over their newborn child, with an assurance born of faith in God that his life would be preserved. His comeliness must have been a prophecy of his future. They were no doubt familiar with God's promises concerning his people. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety, thy seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. Genesis 15:13-14. This and the promises repeated to Isaac and to Jacob must have been handed down from one generation and cherished especially at this time. They must have counted up the time and found that the 400 years had almost expired, and they would soon realize the promise, and afterward shall come out with great substance. And so Moses' mother, Jochebed, made the little baby an ark of bulrushes. We read in Exodus 2 and verse 3, "And she could no longer hide him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein, and laid it in the flags by the river's brink." As the child grew to notice, and since perhaps the officers searched for the male children, Jochebed could no longer hide him. So she took for him an ark of bulrushes. This was a small box, or basket, made of the papyrus plant. This plant has a triangular stem, 8 or 10 feet high, ending in a bushy top of slender leaves, among which the leaves are produced. Our word paper is derived from this word papyrus, and the art of making paper of papyrus, or the papyr plant, is as ancient as the pyramids, and it was also used in making boats. We read in Isaiah 18:2, "Even in vessels of papyrus upon the waters, it grew in the marshy places." We're going to continue this Sunday school lesson when we return for our next class period.